Good morning, Living Waters. Great. And Living Waters online. And friends and guests online. Great to see you through the camera. And we're still together. Well, I'm doing great, better than I deserve. How about yourself? All right. Good. God's grace is more than enough. Last Sunday was tremendous. Boy, it was a great time. Last Sunday, a hallway dedication, and to remember the spiritual legacy of Joel League and his wife, Carol. And she did a great job speaking last Sunday, opening it up. Woo-hoo. And then I taught on the Aaronic blessing that Joel would end so many of his services with, and that's on our memorial plaque in the hallway. And so if you missed last Sunday, you want that teaching, you want to hear that, you want to see it, and it's online available, and just jump on there and grab it. A couple of more things just coming up I want to make note of. Next Sunday, we'll have a certain leader in our church speaking. He is a real servant leadership, gifted that way. And he is one that is a coordinator for our Touchpoint ministry, which is new for 2020. And isn't it weird how the pandemic says no touching and we have a brand new Touchpoint ministry outreach? And it's just, that's the devil lying, saying you will not touch people with the love of God, but we will, by his Spirit, continue to touch people with the love of God. And so Daryl Tracy is our Touchpoint coordinator. Don't forget, before we were very rudely interrupted by this coronavirus, that our vision for 2020 is to be fishers of men. And Jesus described discipleship as being a fisher of men. He said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Oh, I want to follow Jesus. Well, then he's going to make you a fisher of men and women and boys and girls. That's his view and desire of what discipleship looks like. And so Daryl's going to remind us of that biblical foundational motivation from Jesus himself. And that's going to come out in next Sunday's time together. And it's going to be a very important time for our body. And then a couple weeks after that, I believe it's August 23rd, Glenn Haynes from Israel will be with us. He is someone that we've met a few times on the ground in Israel. And he specializes or focuses in Aliyah. Aliyah is when God puts in the hearts of Jews from nations around the whole world to come back to the homeland. And if they're not believers, and it's all just a way to reveal himself to them, that they would know the true Messiah. And so that's his ministry. That's his connections based out of Israel and connections around the world. And Dr. Tom O'Neill and Chris Segre Lewis are hosting him in his time in Kentucky. So they're going to be bringing him for that service Sunday morning. It is going to be so enlightening because it's one of the signs of the end times. I've been wanting to do a series this year on the signs of the end times. It keeps getting pushed back later in the year. So hopefully by the end of the year, I'll have a short series on that. But one of my messages would have been that God is doing something that no other people have seen on the planet Earth, where he's opened up their homeland and he's bringing them back from the four corners of the world. And it was prophesied in Scripture. And before it started happening since 1948, it was just, oh, that's one of those things in the Bible that's, you know, figurative, you know, and it has some kind of spiritual meaning. It's hard to even allegory, doesn't really know what it means. No, it's a literal prophecy spoken hundreds of years ago, and it's happening in our lifetime. It's one of the most validating aspects of the Bible, that the Bible is true and real and must be dealt with, because it accurately prophesied 600-700 years before what we're seeing today in the earth. And so it's a very important message and understanding that we really do stand on solid ground, that there's clear signs of the end times, and this is one of them. It's going to be a great time as well. We are committed as a church, one day a month, the first Monday of the month, to pray for our community, our region, these several counties. The Lord really impressed this on me in January. And just at that time, I was going to start networking with pastors about this. Steve Pearson, he's the one that kind of got me in this direction. Steve Pearson's pastor of Church of the Savior. He's networking the Lexington area pastors to get churches to pray one day a month over their city, over their area. I've got ordered books to give to pastors this week. I want you all to pray for me for Thursday, 10:30 at our pastors gathering that's happening every other Thursday. There's a handful of pastors there that are meeting of diversity, and I'll be giving them, making this available, this book to them, City of Prayer, Transform Your Community Through Praying Churches. And this happened in Austin, and over a 10-year period, they saw crime rates come down. And so they could actually see the results of their unified prayer. So pray for me Thursday. I have handouts. You may have seen these before, three of them on the back at information counter. One has local officials in Anderson County, Shelby County. I need some help getting Henry County and Franklin County on here, if you could volunteer and help me with that. I've got another couple pages, good prayers concerning the pandemic, and some scriptures to pray to help you through your half hour or hour prayer. And then AmericasPrayPraise.org is spreading this model around the country. And, you know, communities, cities are grabbing hold of this, and they have a list of prayers with scriptures. So you grab a hold of these, you got more than an hour of prayer right there. That's what I found. Just to say a little word about that, Thursday time, give you a little update. We also have usually a couple of Shelbyville City police officers there and a deputy sheriff or sheriff from the county. And Sheriff Mark Moore was there this past meeting, and I really got to hear him talk and share. And what a quality Christian leader he is. And I want to tell you, it really touches your heart to go, this is leading a police force in this county, this man, and his heart and his convictions. And he did ask for prayer, and we prayed that day, and we actually did this past Sunday as well as a church. But for the potential of what's happening in Louisville to spread out into the county, Shelby County, and he particularly asked for prayer for the outlet malls and so forth, because that's so close to the interstate and so forth. We prayed, thank the Lord, nothing happened. Hallelujah. Peace in Shelby County. And I really feel God has orchestrated a Christian mayor, Dave Eaton, our judge executive, our police chief, sheriff. I mean, you just go on and on. God has built a spiritual protection in the leadership of our community. We are blessed, folks. We are blessed, and we have an opportunity. And that's why I'm really excited about this Thursday, because I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about uniting churches to pray and be committed to pray on a monthly basis and just cover every day, if not every hour, in prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? What power that would be. All right, this message today is entitled The Many-Sided Challenge. I brought this concept to you a few weeks ago to try to express where we are today in our community, our society. And what you're seeing, this white object, is a dodecahedron. A dodecahedron, try to say that more than once, is 12-sided object. This one has a five-sided face plate. And these faces, there's 12 of them. which means there's 30 edges that meet together. Those 30 edges is 30 different places where all the dynamics interact and connect. You see, this is a very complex, not complex in the sense it's too high and mighty for us to understand. God gives us understanding and wisdom. He takes confusion out of the way, doesn't he? And he gives clarity. But it's not a simple two-sided story issue that we're looking at. Oh, we just need two sides or three sides. No, it's more like 12 sides, and they're all connected by in 30 different ways. And it is a depth that we need to be willing as believers to go into multifaceted depth and levels of what's going on in our community. I know for me, as your pastor, this social distancing and the lack of connecting and seeing each other is affecting me. And I have been finding in the last couple weeks that when I do get with you and it might just be 5 minutes. It might be longer than that. It might be just a catch-up conversation. But my heart just enjoys it so much. And I'm looking at you and I'm going, oh, this person is so wonderful. They're so gifted. I forgot all your flaws. My heart is just full of love for you. It's a wonderful experience. And I want to tell you, I really do miss you. I miss that heart-to-heart, that being with each other, touching each other. It really is affecting me. And I'm noticing it. My heart is growing bigger for you. And plus, you're easy to love because you have hearts of gold. And I am just enjoying these moments together. Let's do get together and catch up. And one thing that I do want to kind of report back to you, that I have heard several people share concerns about the social distancing. That not for themselves, but their family members that might have pre-existing conditions, that kind of thing. And I feel like each week as we go on, those who are coming on a regular basis, we're getting used to this. Or as the service goes on and we're hanging out, we're getting used to it. And the 6 feet gets to, 3 feet, 2 feet, 1 feet, et cetera. You see what I'm saying? And so I'm just reminding you, there are people who have health reasons, personal reasons, or their family, that they are really watching us and want us to be consistent in that social distancing. So I appreciate you. I think you've done very well. Let's keep working at that and remind ourselves over that. So in the message on this complicated, many-sided dodecahedron that we're looking at today, in everyday life as we hear it come over the news and you hear the experts are saying this, oh, no, these experts say the opposite. No, these professionals, and you're like, okay, yeah, sure, right. The last time I talked about was poverty. And I shared some stories about my experience in inner city Philadelphia for 7 years. And that there is in Scripture a very clear, passionate heart of God that says, be sure you protect the rights of the poor. That there is, in God's heart and mind, there needs to be justice for the poor. And I saw children growing up, and though I lived, my home was about 10 miles away. It was two different worlds, and that inner city Philadelphia was more like a third world country mission experience than my neighborhood and my community 10 miles away. And I thought in times as I lived there, I thought, is this the way thousands, if not millions, of children are growing up with a lack of resources, lack of leadership, lack of education, a lack of, and it just went on, lack of fathers, lack of family, the lacks just went on and on and on. They are growing up in a different world. And so I believe that these phrases in the Bible are real for us today, that there are rights of the poor, there's justice for the poor we need to be so aware of in today's time. Our ministry, we oversee Father's Love, goes to the heart of that and opens the door to children that have experiencing these different lacks of different resources to say, Jesus is your answer. The Bible and all that he can give you in discipleship is enough. You can fulfill your destiny. Don't lose heart. You can go for it, and through Christ is the answer. And so we are actually been involved now for 23 years on a specific ministry that hits this issue right on the head. Let's praise God for Father's Love and the future of Father's Love. Let's just do it real quick. So you just be ready to invest your time, energy, and treasures into that ministry as this year goes on. So the subtitle of this message is A Culture of Honor in the Midst of a Culture of Offense. A Culture of Honor in the Midst of a Culture of Offense. And I'm finding as I'm trying to live things out in my family relationships with my relatives, in the workplace, the companies I serve with Company Care Services, my marketplace ministry, and friends, that there is this, not just on the news, but now even in potentially in all of my relationships, there's either a culture of honor and a culture of offense staring me in the face. And there is a challenge for us that we can overcome by the grace of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says this. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. And these are days when Peter, who wrote this, lived in a time of direct Christian persecution to the point of being thrown in prison. And yet he's saying things like, honor the emperor. Love the brotherhood, fear God, but specifically honor everyone. And that is, it's just, come on, you don't really mean everyone, do you? Surely not. God, did you inspire that one? Was that a little ink, little mess up there? And no, it says honor all people. And that is where we need God's help. And yet, that is where we can be different and we can be God's representative on the earth. We all have reasons to just be on edge right now. It could be personal health issues or financial stress or the unknown, the uncertainty of the future of your work or your finances. The violence that we're seeing on TV and on the internet. This is a time to be a people of shalom. That the God of peace is the one that rules our heart. And we need that as well to help us to enter in this culture of honor in the midst of a culture of offense. See, it's so easily, even more so, to be just set off emotionally, to be quick to argue or quick-tempered. I confess that in my home, I've had family members in the last couple weeks, several times, go, Stephen, why are you so angry? Angry? I'm not angry. I'm just passionate. That's one of my responses. Stephen, why are you so angry? Angry? I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at, you know, whatever. And there's, I need help in an awareness of how I'm coming across. And this is part of it, is that we realize that we need God's help to bring and have a culture of honor in our conversations, in our relationships, versus a culture of offense. There's this great little scripture, one of those practical ones that will help in every single relationship and conversation we've got. James chapter 1, verse 19. It says this. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That one you can even, it's so simple you can memorize it without even trying. Quick to hear. So yeah, let's be quick to do that, but slow to speak and slow to anger. See, that sounds like a success guru seminar, doesn't it? Well, it's been in the Word of God a long time. The Holy Spirit wants us to hear this. And you know, hey, why? Well, we've got two ears, so let's do more listening than we do speaking with one mouth. In fact, if you're choosing and wanting to bring a culture of honor in your conversations and relationships, be it at work or at home, if you choose to listen first, and then you're starting, well, you button, and you hold back, and you get back to listening mode, because you may not be listening after that, right? Get back to listening mode, and you really let them finish, the culture of honor is now there. It's there. They're going, because they're like, wow, I actually got to finish my whole opinion. I actually got to finish what I really believe. I got this. I even got upset a little bit and slammed my fist a little bit. They did not get mad. He just sat there and listened the whole time. Boy, that felt great. And you've established and opened the door of the culture of honor. And so when you begin to speak, if they interrupt you, you can say, hold it now. I listened to let you finish. So you planted the seed to earn the right to be treated the same. Got that? So this scripture really is, be quick to hear, and that is the first step in establishing the culture of honor in relationships and interacting. Here's a scripture on your screen, but it's out of Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. That's God's teaching us that with outsiders, we should be known with speech that's gracious, that they won't be afraid to enter in conversation with us because they are not going to get beat up. They're not going to get slammed. And you know, some of us, and I'm saying it's true for me, kind of like to get in a debate. Kind of like to see, you know, who could win this debate, who can think it through, who can say it the right way, who likes a little bit of tussle here. And there's personalities like me. And us, we really need to be careful how we're coming across. Because then there's personalities on the opposite side that are either introverted or peacemakers, and they're not going to speak up and interrupt. And so if people are just arguing, they're just going to stand back and listen, and they won't be speaking up and sharing and want to bring peace. So they're going, how do I bring peace to this? What is this, a debate, an argument, fight? What is going on right now? I just want to bring peace. So I'm not going to say anything. So these different personality types affect how these things unfold. Let's be known as a people with gracious speech. Our sweet Dolores Mitchell, back in, I believe, like January, February, before our nation hit this pandemic, got this word from the Lord. Didn't really have an understanding what it all meant. Cause no offense, receive no offense. Well, after the pandemic hit and after the racial issues started and the protests, oh, that makes a lot of sense. We need that. And what it does, not only warns us to be careful to cause offense, but just expect to be receiving, have many opportunities to be offended. It's going to come at you all day long. Romans 13, verse 7 and 8, now on your slide. But it says, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. They don't deserve honor. I don't have to give them honor. They don't deserve it. And folks, there is some most illogical, most opposite thinking of common sense, where wicked is called good. Out there, it's flourishing and getting blessed by all kinds of leaders. And there's nothing honorable by some of the philosophies coming out right now. And yet God says to honor everyone, 1 Peter 2:17. So how can though philosophy or a viewpoint is just totally opposite the word of God, how do we still honor the person? The next verse will give us some direction. Verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So that's really powerful. Because honor and love is a way to someone's heart. An argument over facts and figures and philosophies is to get to their head. But to get to someone's heart, we can do it through honor and love. That's the pathway. And that's what we want. We want to reach their heart, because who cares when the argument in the end? We want to win their heart for Christ and draw them a step closer to the reality of Jesus Christ. So let me turn the tables a little bit here, kind of go on the flip side of this coin. Well, doesn't it say, Pastor Stephen, in the Bible, in fact, Matthew 11, verse 12, quoting Jesus himself, that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. How does that fit in our scenario? How does that work? It is time, right? No doubt. For the body of Christ to have a faith that won't quit, that we are releasing our faith as swords of the Spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual. And to be violent in the Spirit, to be violent with their faith and in prayer. It's no time to back down in the reality of the battle we're in. And it is time for us to use our faith like never before. So this is a season, right, that we rise as those in the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 is about, there's a passage, I'm not going to read it all, of the armor of God, describing the armor of God for us. Verses 10 through 18. It starts out like this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why do you need the armor of God? It's because you're a soldier. You're in combat zone. This is a battle for relationship, for unity in relationship. This is a battle for God's destiny. This is a battle for his truth and his gospel going out. You are a warrior. You're dressed for battle. And just the nature of how this passage unfolds, five times the word against is used. That there is opposing sides that are against one another. And we're on the right side. We're on the side of Jesus Christ. Listen, you want to be on the side of Jesus Christ. Because if you just take one political side on this side, or this view of the virus on that side, or racial issues, whatever, listen, Jesus, you want to be on the side of Jesus, where Jesus is. Miles McPherson, I've heard him speak a couple of times in person at the ARC conference. He had a book released about a year ago. About 15 of you were in the simulcast that he led about a year ago. And here we put it over the web on the screen. Called his book called Third Option. The simulcast was called A Race for Unity. And he said the third option is this, folks, is when Joshua was going to enter in and fulfill his into God's people's destiny, he had this mighty angel appear to him. And Joshua said, whose side are you on? And he said, neither. I am the side. I am the Lord. You don't try to put me on a side. I am the side. And he said, in this understanding of racial issues, Jesus is the side. Don't be pitted on which side to take. Don't be forced into that. view people like Jesus, how God views people. He created them with his, in his image, with his beauty, with his purpose. Each person is totally valuable and created equally before God. Let's choose the third option, and that's the side of Christ. What I liked about him so much, and I might mention this a little bit more later, is he gets practical on how to grow in unity and relationships. And I really, I've got some of these books. If you want a copy, let me know. So we have this ability to enter into a culture of honor, even though we're in the midst of a culture of offense everywhere. That people are so easily offended, they're so easily insulted, and we can be wrapped up in it as well. One time talking to someone, and I thought, oh my, they didn't understand what I said. They're going off. They didn't hear what I said. They're just so emotionally involved right now. And so we can be slip into this if we're not aware of where we are. It takes a lot of self-awareness. Ephesians chapter 4, 26 is one of those scriptures that is very direct, and it stands back and gives us some wisdom. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So it didn't say that sin, that anger is a sin. It says, be angry and do not sin. All anger is not sin. It's not out of control. It's not rage. It's not necessarily hurting someone. The emotion of anger comes from us being created in God's image. He has anger, righteous indignation, where there is this is so untruth, this is so harmful, this is so, and anger rises up that God, the God of truth, the God of justice, to bring, again, a pathway of honor and love to grab that person's heart, and this is causing them to stay out of heaven and bondage to hell. These things make the Lord angry. But it says there's a parameter, there's a boundary, there is a self-restraint in the second part of this sentence. It says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. So we've got to be real about it. We've got to be honest about it and say, okay, Lord, help me, help me. I can't let this linger. I can't let it go into the night, into the next day. I need to deal with this, and I need to release it to you. I need to trust you in this. Help me, Lord. Don't let the sun go down your anger. So there is anger has a danger to it. Too much of it can be harmful, or maybe it's too, how long it lasts can be harmful. Not necessarily too much of it, but how long it lasts. It can do damage. And the next verse is very clear about this. Verse 27 in Ephesians chapter 4 says, and give no opportunity to the devil. See, that's what it's saying. You can have righteous indignation from the Lord. Feel like, yeah, that's right. That's where God wants me to be. But we can keep that overnight into the next day, and something happens to that anger that opens an opportunity for the devil to get us, to tempt us, to drag us down, to snatch us, to hook us. So, Lord, help us be a person of honor versus a person of offense. You know, you're in a conversation, you're watching yourself, you're trying to be aware. Yes, you have strong convictions. You have opinions that are good to share. You have passions. And then the anger starts happening. That's when you start, boom, okay, I've got to be aware. I've got to be self-aware. Don't cross over this line, because that anger, if it goes too far, too long, can be rage, it can be judgmental, it can be condescending. You start name-calling, hurting the trust in the relationship with that person. So it's a line that we've got to be aware of. It kind of looks like this blue fella up here. It's a line, and I think sometimes it's not so much he's looking down. You're just walking in this conversation, and then you realize, oh, line was back there. It's a line that you don't trip over. You walk over really easily, and you're like, oh, what happened? I'm way over here. The line's way back. What happened? You know, in this many-sided challenge that we have in our society with many levels and many approaches, sometimes it feels more like this right here. There's lines all over the place. I go, I didn't know that line was there. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it. Just help us, Lord. But remember, culture of honor, culture of love will give you grace for one another. Hey, you can cross the line over a little bit. We'll give each other a little bit of grace, all right? This is hard to navigate through. We give each other grace. We're giving a culture. They haven't had anyone listen to them. They let them vent it for a while. And they'll go, wow, I know I just crossed over a line and you're not retaliating. You're being gracious in your speech right now. I don't deserve that. You're being a person of peace. Shalom. I just raised the bar of intensity and you're still, wow, that's amazing. Proverbs has a number of scriptures like this. I just chose one of them. Just so much wisdom right in one sentence. Proverbs 16:32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. So all this impact that we're seeing in these cities and buildings being captured, and of course in David's time and in ancient Israel, to capture a city would be a great military feat worthy of honor for the army of David and for the nation of Israel. And yet, the wisdom that comes from Solomon, that came from really his father David, was be slow to anger. And that's better than the mighty. Even the mighty ones who take a city and do great exploits, be slow to anger. That's wisdom. There's this age-old ancient conflict that was of great intensity for many decades that still has not ended, against Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam. How do they handle?
Start walking, you doggone long-eared galoot.
Just a minute, partner. You can't talk to me like that. Them's fighting words.
Them's fighting words.
I dare you to step over this line.
Okay, I'm stepping.
I dare you to step over this one. This one. This one. That one. That one. This one.
Oh, that's you if you don't watch where your lines are, okay, folks? That's me, okay? I've gotten it at home already. I know about it. There's a glyph of one of those lines. You think crossing over them is not a big deal. Well, one of those lines is going to. And in my marketplace ministry and businesses, this is a message on these principles for the workplace. Because people are finding that there are conflicts where they used to not be conflicts. Meeting with just dear old friends here in our church, an older couple who have been very careful, haven't been out at all except twice in the store in several months, right? Have everything delivered to the house. They have two sons. One son, they've go visit him, and they do some things together on the weekends at his house. But literally haven't been out of the house. So I was at their porch, screening porch with the mask in their back porch, 6 foot, but just catching up, and just again enjoyed every minute of it, just being there in conversation and talking. And she said, you know, this son, won't let us do this, and he's you know, very careful about this, very rigid about this, and so that's what we've done. Our other son is totally opposite. Now, both sons love their mom and dad. Right? Both sons love mom and dad. But they have just opposite views of the coronavirus. I've talked to a young man privately in his 20s who has an older brother, about 7 years older or so. He always looked up to his older brother for years growing up. The intensity, they don't see eye to eye on what's happening on the news, politically, racial issues, etc. And the intensity of their conversations have gotten to the point where the older brother starts calling him names, being condescending and hurtful, and their trust has been broken. And the younger brother doesn't even want to be around him anymore. So that older brother crossed a line. And it's a line where the culture of honor is thrown away, and it's a culture fence, and it doesn't matter if you're hurting the trust in that friendship or that relationship because you want to win the argument. Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15 says this: strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So here we are. Pursue, strive for peace with everyone. Really ask the Lord, God, even those that disagree with me, how can I love them and honor them? And therefore be at peace with them, even though we have a sharp disagreement. Because this is holy. This is part of holiness, which is of the highest priority, because you won't see the Lord. This can affect your vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 15 reveals this past verse I read out of Ephesians, that give no opportunity to the devil. Here it is, verse 15. See to that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. See, that started as strong conviction. That started with passion and then anger that went over sundown and went into the next day, and that anger stirred, and that angle stirred, and you became an angry person, characterized by jumping in there and just being angry and attacking. And you weren't like that a few months ago. But it turns into a root of bitterness, and a root what? Is getting deeper, right? It's got these roots going deeper. And it's touching and affecting the whole plant, the whole tree. It defiles many areas. So suddenly you're being tempted. You're the darkness, but there's a darkness and a cloud between you and the Lord. It's affecting you spiritually. And what it is because you didn't put any barriers around your anger. You stepped over the line. So our Riley family, there's 8 of us adults, young adults on up. 4 of our kids, 2 of them married. And we could tell over the phone calls that we didn't all see eye to eye about the racial issues that were unfolding in our country. And 1 or 2 of the family members, and I was one of them, suggested that we do a Zoom call since so many live out of state, and have a family discussion about these issues and our experiences. So the different personalities in the group of 8, there were a couple that was like, hold it, I like our family the way it is. I don't want to go there. What if somebody really slams somebody and really gets, we like our family relationships as they are. Kind of feeling like, the typical Thanksgiving scenario where relatives come in and you haven't seen them for a long time, and you stay away from three topics, at least these three: religion, politics, and money, in order to keep the peace. You don't want a fight to break out and food to be tossed and people to walk out early with some kind of drama event. And so you just say, just keep it shallow, keep it shallow. Well, I don't want to keep it shallow with those that I love and my family and my friends, and I don't want to keep it shallow. And yet, this isn't an easy journey. And so one of the sons who helped initiate, we appointed him as the facilitator. And so we started this Zoom conversation. And it was productive. There was some moments that it got tense, because one family member was saying, hey, you should do what we did with this, blah, 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 blah. This is how they responded. This is how they were reacting. And they said, it was good for us. You should do it too. And we're like, well, hold it. Let each person decide how to work this out. It's going to be different for everybody. We haven't done another Zoom call since, but I think it was productive. And I think that we could do another one. And I do. I think we had grace to think it was productive. It was helpful. But there are unique group dynamics that I want to mention, because you want to keep this in mind. If you're in a group, be that person who's leading the culture of honor. Make sure that one person can finish their viewpoint. Don't let people interrupt them. Okay. And that open discussion, it may be awkward and uncomfortable. That's just the way it is. That's what we felt. We weren't sure how this is going to turn out. Who are they going to, you know, look at me differently if I don't agree with them? There's this uneasiness. There's this awkwardness. But there is a thing called healthy debate that we can learn from one another. Watch that line when that healthy debate turns into a dysfunctional argument where the conflict, which life has conflict in it. We can't all agree, right? Marriage has conflict in it. Two people are not going to agree all the time. But what you don't want is to cross the line into strife and division and condescending, and now the trust is being broken down. Conflict's a fact of life. But we could choose a cult of honor so it doesn't just automatically get into strife and division. Ephesians chapter 4 is this awesome passage listing the fivefold offices of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and they're there to train and equip the body, to build up the body. It says that they are this leadership, and how all the teaching works out is so that we can attain a unity to become a mature man, that we are no longer to be children. And verse 15 of this great passage says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. That yes, speak the truth, but don't speak at all if you can't do it in love, because you just messed up the scripture. You didn't obey it. And that's how we learn, Lord, how do I say this? Do I really care for this person? Because all I want is to win the argument, if all I want is to be heard and so that I can influence them, no. That's selfish motivation. I'm in relationship with this person, and I want to build trust with them. If I could ask the praise team to go ahead and come up. I want to end with this verse and a couple take-home points. But James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 really reveals our heart for each person, particularly outsiders that we are in contact with. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is a chance for harvest, folks. This is a chance to go deeper in relationships. hard conversations, uncomfortable conversations. But if we don't just stay shallow, we can actually bond with people. And they go, we actually disagree on this, and we're not hating each other at the end of the conversation. See, let the gospel offend, but let not our attitude offend. Because the gospel is offensive. Jesus Christ died on the cross, gave his all, which means we give our all as well. We have to give up our selfishness, our sins, our selfish ways, and turn to God. That's offensive, folks. That tells a person, what, I can't just do what I want. I just can't just make my own decisions. I can't be the Lord of my life. No, if you want salvation, if you want eternal life in heaven, if you want to miss hell, you've got to turn completely from your ways, your sins, and turn to God. And he will fill you and he will give you all. The love he has for you will be poured into your heart. It won't just be a thought. It won't be a nice little meme. It'll actually be a real thing in your heart. You can have a relationship with him. Let the gospel offend. Let us do our best in our attitudes not to offend. So these are some take-home points. And I want to challenge you before I go over these. Is that Miles McPherson, in his material, and he has it on his website, third option, is how to do a small group growth discussion. He's got 10 guidelines that you go over that give you parameters. And he says, get 3 or 4 people of at least 2 ethnicities represented and use these guidelines and go deeper and let it be a culture of honor. If you want to be a part of, I want to set up some small groups like that to have a couple of discussions, set up one, see how it goes, do another. If you're interested in that, let me know and let's see how we can develop some of those over the next couple of months and grow deeper in trust relationship. And maybe even someone who's not close to the Lord at this time would wander back into the kingdom. But take home number one is yes, absolutely. Be strong in faith and be violent in prayer. Use your faith, release it as a weapon. And don't hold back in that being a warrior for Christ. But don't cross the line from the culture fence into the culture of, from the culture of honor into the culture of offense. So number two is don't cross the line. And choose honor. And people will be drawn to that. The Lord will use you. You'll get to their hearts. So I'm going to go ahead and close at this time and say a blessing over you. Why don't we all stand as we allow the worship team to continue to minister to us. Lord, thank you that though it's complicated and complex, it's not too hard for you. It's not too big for you. I've got a couple of words I want to pray here as we close. One is to instruct the body of Christ, and I'm into this. Pray for our pastors to stand for the word of God. If you live near drive-by churches, you should be blessing them as you drive by. If you live near them, pray for those churches in your community. Pray for the pastors to stand for the word of God. Here's another one that says, there's someone who's been abused or molested and felt it was their fault. It's not true. The enemy was trying to destroy you, but God wants to set you free. And that is a typical attack of the enemy, a lie. They said it was your fault. It wasn't your fault. The enemy had a plan, but God, his plan is bigger. So, Lord, we pray over these right now. Father, we pray that pastors in our 4-county region God, stand on the word of God. We teach the word. Lord God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that if they're being tempted to bend, Lord God, that, Lord, you would bring by your spirit and those to help to stay true in their teaching, preaching, and leading according to the word. Father, we pray for those who have a witness of this word, of when they're abused and they believe the lie that it was their fault. Lord Jesus, we break the lie in Jesus' name. Lie be broken over that mind. Oh God, we pray for the healing Holy Spirit to heal that wound. Oh God, we pray, Lord God, that that past thing is covered by the blood. It is covered. It is over with and done. And the Lord redeems that past event, and you are free from it in Jesus' name. You're free in Jesus' name. Now, in closing blessing, I want to pray the blessing of shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you his shalom. Everything as it really ought to be. Nothing missing, nothing broken. May you put your full weight down and the rest and rest in the hammock of his smile of approval for you. For in Christ Jesus, by his blood, you are approved. May you walk under the warmth of his presence and hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You are blessed in order to be a blessing. Have a great day. You're blessed. Have a great week. Feel free to stay in worship or to visit out in the more spacious areas in the gathering place. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Love you guys, both here and online.